Okay. Let's pray and we'll get started. Almighty Yah, we come to you just to, first of all, acknowledge you. We just look forward to just getting in your presence on a daily basis. We just ask you to bless us with understanding on tonight and to position us where we can put that understanding into action. And we bless you for that. Yeah, we just glorify you for all that you do, all that who you are, and all that you've manifested us to be. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All righty. Get this. Okay, here we go. Deal with some things that that I have been led to write about for some of these, you know, for some lessons and things like that that we do, and it's going to be one of these cases on tonight, and we're going to start out in Mark chapter 9, and. And we may move around a little bit. It just depends on how far we get into this on site. And I pretty much try to stick with the time frame and stuff. So we'll stay on schedule. But again, Mark chapter 9. Let's see what verse we'll start on. And then we'll move through the lesson. Well, we saw it first. Mark 9, verse 15. Mark chapter 9, verse 15. Yeah, I guess it's a good place to start. Yeah, verse 15. Verse 15 says, "And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to... run to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with me? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Now, as you look at these different things, as you look at the word dumb spirit, it basically means mute, and obviously, you know, anytime you deal with the spirit, it mainly comes from a perspective, or I like to say a mental disposition. Just kind of keep it in a simple form. But it says he has a dumb spirit, and then it says that wheresoever he taketh him, he tieth him. And when you look at the word tieth him, there's a colon there, and then it gives an explanation of what that is. It says, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pining away. You know, I also just kind of like somebody that's, you know, kind of withdrawn or some along that facet. Then said, I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now, when you look at this, you know, there are some things that I'll say, and then with, you know, with my brother-in-law being here, him being from New Orleans, there are some things that he can attest to from that perspective. You get a lot of people that, well, I'll explain my mindset from certain things, and then I'll tell you my mindset concerning things, and then I explain what I mean. I don't believe in voodoo or spirits and such things like that. I don't believe in it. Now, what I mean by that is that I don't believe that they can possess or control me. Yah has given me a mental disposition that that allows, you know, he's given me a mental disposition that allows me to say that in confidence, and then at the same time know that it's because I'm connected to him. Now, not me not believing in it does not imply that they do not exist. There are things that's very weak, very real. I have seen a lot of things that's very real. Things that do exist. I know that there is a such thing as a dumb spirit because I've seen one in operation before, and you can tell the individual was being controlled by a spirit because the minute you know, I used to do a lot of things over the years. I used to go to take my family to a nursing home, and I used to teach the elderly people Bible lessons for like an hour during certain times. We wasn't thinking once or twice a week I would do it. And I take my family and, you know, we sing, and then I teach the lesson and then dismiss. Well, sometimes, you know, we would kind of help the people who were at the who were over the nursing home, kind of get, you know, round some of the people up and get them all down to the, you know, to the area where we would have the Bible study. And it would be quite a few people that would come. You know, we had a pretty good sized church service at the nursing home, and so some of them were not able to come down because of their physical health. And so those that were not able to come down, we would go from room, you know, from room to room, and, you know, just pray with those people and, you know, spend a little time with them and things like that. But this one particular lady had a dumb spirit, and she was quiet, you know, laying up in bed, eyes closed. You know, just quiet, and you know, she's one of those that you know, they had classified and couldn't get around, you know, couldn't do things and stuff like that. Well, the minute I started praying, that woman would sit up in that bed, and you could see the strength that rose up in her physical body. I'm talking to the point where she was laying there mute, just like the Bible said. That's dumb spirit. But when I started to pray, that woman stood up in that bed, eyes was closed the whole time, and started talking, telling me to stop praying. But she wasn't looking at me. She was just sitting straight up in the bed, and faces, you know, because, you know, you had, you know, two residents in the room. And this particular woman was sitting, you know, out of bed were, you know, parallel to one another. Well, this was, she sitting straight up because I was in between the beds, and she sitting straight up and was looking straight ahead. And all the time you could hear this voice coming out of her, it was not that woman's voice telling me to stop praying. Just constant, stop praying. You better stop praying. And so, like, the one looking at me, and I knew that it was a dumb spirit in her. And all I did was kept praying. And as I kept praying, you know, after a while, she laid right on back down and went back into that same mode that she was before I started coming in and praying for the other lady that was in there. She was completely out of it, but when I started praying, when she came up out of that and hearing that, that thing started talking to her, talking through her. But, you know, and so I say, you know, I said all that to say that, but my brother-in-law can attest to you that there are some things that he's seen from a perspective of voodoo whereby it is very real. You can even look at the scripture where it talks about the sorcery of the wise men and different things like that. It just blows my mind how people would take the wise men, you know, Jesus in the manger, you know, and they'll take the three wise men and try to make them holy men. Those were sorcerers. They were magicians, magi, as the scripture says. And they came to visit Yehoshua because they saw his star. They were stargazers. So they believed in these different signs and you know, magic-like things. And so it amazed me how churches would put them in their place. So I just get a kick out of watching it sometimes. You know, I'd be like, I don't have a clue. But even during Moses' time, when Moses threw his rod down and it became a snake, those magi, those magicians threw the earth down and did the same thing. You have to understand that these spirits can do the same stuff as you know, what appear to be something, you know, godly, so to speak. And so, you know, that's why you test every spirit to see what sort that it is. Everything they come across is spiritual, and everything that looks spiritual doesn't necessarily mean that it is. There are things that you can do. I've been given the I just have a gift where I can see it. I can see them literally in people, on people. I can see it in the eyes and these different things like that. And what I mean by that is not that something I can just do at will. It's only something that I can do once I'm, you know, when I'm led by the Spirit of Yah. And I just say that just from perspective of keeping me balanced. I can just see them right off. And so when you look at this verse here, and you see how the Bible classifies what this dumb spirit does. And so when you look at dumb spirit, it's from a perspective of mute, but it's dealing with a mental disposition. Then it goes on in verse 18 and says, wheresoever he taketh him, he tireth him. In other words, when he takes over the mental state of this individual, then, you know, the scripture says that, you know, he's saying here that he tired him or wrecked him. It's from an emotional standpoint, okay? Then it says that he foameth and gnashes with his teeth and pines away. The first one I saw, I was 3 years old. 3 years old, remember, like it was yesterday. Well, this what's being described here is what this woman did. in the presence of the church, and my grandfather got up, got whatever was out of her, and he wasn't classified as any type of preacher. He was just a layman. He was just someone who was there in the church, just a, you know, what you would classify as like a regular individual at the church. So all of us have the ability to do it. When we get to the main points of lesson, if we believe. Okay, now, again, verse 18 said, and wheresoever he taketh him, he tireth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with the teeth, and pineth away. Again, I want to concentrate on the word pineth. It's kind of like he withers, he swivels away. Another passage said, another definition says to desiccate, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now, when you look at the way that the scripture describes these different things in this passage, it is giving us the key to understand when somebody may be controlled by a spirit. Okay, certain demeanors. You know, matter of fact, there's a particular lady that I've been kind of dealing with on and off. Try to help her get on her feet, and I've taken her to the store a few times, and just different things that's going on, but just from communicating with this individual, I could tell that there's something going on with her mental disposition that lets me know that there's a force that's controlling her beyond her own mental disposition, because she'll snap in and snap out of it. And that's what the scripture is saying in verse 18. It's saying, wheresoever he taketh him. When you find individuals that one minute they seem to be normal, and then the next minute seem like they've gone somewhere, that gives you an understanding of what may be going on as far as the case is concerned. As far as that case is concerned. Now me, you know, I'm just a little thrown off, so you got to be able to know the difference. You know, I take me places, just out of spite, But there's a difference when you see that there's a change in nature. It lets you know that nature is, there's something else going on with the nature. Okay. So I'm trying to move the spirit. Y'all won't let me. And so because I have to give you an understanding of to know when you're dealing with a strong personality like mine, or you're dealing with a force. Okay. When you see like what the scripture is saying in this verse. Verse 18 said, "Wheresoever he taketh him, he tires him." When you see extremity from one personality to another, and you see the nature of the individual change, 9 times out of 10, you're dealing with some form of a spirit. Okay, and as as these things go on, it may be different classifications of it, but I'm just using verse 17 to talk about dumb spirits to give us an understanding of what these different things are going on. You know, there's a difference from, and I keep having to use myself for an example. I was just a strong personality type person. I've always been that way. Well, you know, I have a sister. If she had been who she was back then, she probably thought I had a demon in me. You know, because I just had a strong personality. What are the difference? Okay, there's a difference from a strong personality and something that actually changes the nature of that individual. When you look at this individual, you're seeing the nature of this individual change, where you see he's foaming, he's gnashing with the teeth, he pines away, and then he says, I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Verse Verse 19 said, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. So he's frustrated with his disciples because the disciples couldn't get this dumb spirit out of this this child, so to speak. Not necessarily child, I'm just saying that. Then verse 20 says, and they brought him unto him, Yehoshua, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him. Okay, when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him. That's one of the signs to let us know that we're dealing with some form of a spirit is when we start to, you know, when we start to deal with it from a spiritual perspective, then it starts to lash out from that perspective. You know, a lot of times they will act up once they see somebody or encounter somebody that has a mental disposition that Yah has control over, or that Yah leads and directs. Okay. Verse 20 said, they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, and it's kind of, I know, though, it's just only some of you that know for girls, they may have been too young, but some of you may have been at church when I dealt with that legion at that time, that scratched me, and when the spirit left that person, then, that woman, then, you know, my arms were back smooth the way that they were, although there was blood on the carpet. Well, if you recall, the minute that I walked up on the stage, that demon started acting up. That spirit started acting up in that woman, to the point to where she ran out in the foyer area and was laying there on the floor. But the minute I came out, it started to acknowledge me. I know who you are. Same way it did when I prayed for this woman in the nursing home, and the other one starts to acknowledge. They acknowledge the children of the Most High. And so, verse 20 said, they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, from infancy. So when you look at it, and there are some other things that you can kind of run from the perspective, but anyhow, he's saying from a child, from a young person, from a damsel. Okay, however you want to put it. He could have been a half-grown boy or girl. It just depends. So when you look at it, he had been dealing with it for a period of time. Now, verse 22 says, he gives an example of what this child is doing from verse 22. It says, all time it has cast him into the fire. And into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So everyone that I have encountered, not only were they destructive toward other people at times, but they was also destructive toward themselves. So that's what I'm saying. That's how you know the difference. When it's something that you're dealing with, or it's something that's being dealt with, you know, I was just a bad kid, you know, you just had to whoop me and train me up. But when you start to deal with the personalities that change you from the point where you're seeing the individual not only you know, do damage to other people, but start to do damage to themselves. You're dealing with a force that's outside the mental disposition of that individual. Because as you look at all the things going on from verse 17, 18, from verse 18 all the way up to verse 22, you're seeing something that's going on with this individual that positions them where they make decisions. They make decisions that's beyond their control. You know, when you would ask me why I do that, I don't know. I just wanted to. I was just a bad kid. You know, that's perspective as far as I was. But I knew exactly what I was doing. I planned it out and all these things associated with it. So I'm just trying to make sure that everyone understands that you don't look at any circumstance and try to determine that there's something operating within the mental disposition of a person. And so I'm giving you clear things to be able to understand it. I have a niece. I have a niece who is, what is Miracle's diagnosis? Do y'all know? I have a niece named Miracle, and I'm trying to think of a word that I can use that's not offensive. But it's the only one I can think of because that's all we call it at the time. You know, they would call it retarded, you know. That's the only way I can think of at the time. And so, that's, you know, business challenge, however you want to put it. But see, I don't want to accept that because Miracle's intelligent. I'm talking, when you look at her, you know, articulate however you want to put it. When you look at it, she's very intelligent. She thinks things out, and you know that she's doing stuff on purpose. She's very intelligent about it. Very intelligent about it. And if you're not careful, she will play someone who don't know she's that intelligent. So she may come up to you and slap the heck out of you and then play. I have to say it because that's all I can explain it. I mean, she's my niece, and so I don't look down on it or anything. It's just that's what we call it growing up, and that's the only thing I can put it right now. Let y'all help me with a word, you know. You know, she'll come up to you and slap you and then play retarded. Oh, she's very smart and play retarded, but everybody in the family know. But if you was a stranger, you'd be like, okay, I'll let her get away with it because of her mental state of mind. Sharp as a tack. No, you letting her get away with it, so she'll reach up there and pop your head and laugh about it because she's like, this nut thinks I'm too mentally challenged to know what I'm doing, so I'm just keep doing it. And she thinks things out. I kid you not. Anybody in the, you know, in my family on my father's side, they can tell you, sharp as can be. Well, when you look at it from that perspective, there's a difference. You know, it's kind of like the same way with me. Is there a difference? Miracle just can be bad. She can be mischievous at times. But there's not something possessing her. It's just that there's a mental state that has happened to her at one time or another that has caused her to be in the condition that she's in. But yet, that doesn't mean that there's something possessing her. Okay, because you know, because as you have experiences with her, different things like that, you can obviously tell that nothing is controlling her nature. It's just that's something that she just does. She's very funny. What Miracle maybe was about 16, 17 now?
Yeah,
2018. Very sharp. Yeah, I mean very sharp, boy. And so we sit back and laugh at her when strangers come around. And we'd be like, hey, y'all keep an eye on her because she's going to do some stuff. And you're going to think that she's doing it because she's that way, but she's doing it because she's like, you know, I just have a personality. I'm going to be entertaining about it. You ain't careful. You know, she won't do it in front of certain family members. But if she thinks you're not looking, boy, she'll pull off her shirt and show her breath in a minute. You know, she did it to Alan. So. He didn't see her though, but you know, I was sitting there, I was like, hey, you cut that out. She goes and sit back and laugh, but she knows what she's doing. And so, so I just want you to understand the difference. So when you see that individual's mental disposition or nature has been changed, you'll see extreme things happen that doesn't make common sense. Okay, and in this case, verse 22, he's saying, okay, all time he cast himself in the fire, into the waters, to destroy him. Whenever you have to understand that a spirit is in an individual for destructive purposes, whether that's to somebody else or to that individual. Okay, that's how you tell the difference from just a kid that just needs, you know, training, and someone who actually has something going on with them that is of another nature, a spirit. Okay, now, verse 23 now says, Yehoshua said unto him, if thou canst believe. Now, this is the part where I want to start to deal with in this particular portion of the lesson now. Let me get my computer here acting right. Okay. Okay, here we go. Now, again, and I'm going to just deal with verse 23 and 24 by adding the words in so that we can understand it now. And Yehoshua said unto him, if thou canst. Now, when you look at if thou canst, the word thou canst means to be able. It means to be able to be of power, okay? If thou canst, if you're able to, when you look at the word believe, it associated with understanding of to think to be true. And it comes from a perspective of trusting Yah. That's why I put trust Him. So it says, thou can believe. If you or we can think a certain thing to be true, put our trust in Yah. It says, all things are possible to him that believeth, who trust Him. Anything is possible to those who trust Yah. Then it says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I like to say Jehovah, I believe. He said, I trust him. I trust in Yah. I trust you as the master. I trust in Yah. But I like to keep the focal point on the Father, because that's what our Savior did. Okay? So he says, Jehovah, I believe. I trust him. I trust in the Most High. But then he says, help, which is A. He says, help thou mine unbelief, my faithlessness, my lack of trust. And so I like to put it this way. Simply speaking, the Bible is saying this. If the Father is able to trust him, anything is possible to anyone who does. Anything is possible to anyone who does. And immediately the father of the child screamed with tears, Master, I trust him. But then he says, aid my lack of trust. Okay? Now, with that understanding now, in the lack manner of this father now, we all may have experiences for one reason or another that may position us to where we trust Yah. You know, I may trust Yah in an area. You may trust Yah in an area. Okay, all of us may trust Yah in a specific area, but then at the same time, each one of us have something that we've gone through that made us sit down and look at the circumstance and say, I don't know Yah. I'm having a hard time believing right now. All of us have experienced those circumstances in one facet or another. And it amazes me, preachers that I had encounters with when I wasn't preaching, even at times when I did start preaching in the early years, that would always make it come across like they were invincible and always had, you know, great faith for all these things, and there was something always wrong with us because they was getting all the results, and it seemed like we wasn't getting nothing. And the first thing they would say, because we wasn't getting the results, is, you know, you just have a lack of faith. And I used to be like, well, dang, I almost got a lack of faith in everything because ain't nothing working right now. And I'm trusting y'all and believing him as marriage, but it just seems like, you know, a lot of things are not working, right now. So, you know, I wanted to point that out. All of us may have faith. Some of you may have faith in areas where another person may say, man, I need some help right there. I really need some help right there. I'm having struggles in that area right there. Yeah, I'm fine right here, but over here, I got a work need to be done. All of us have that in one fashion or another. Some of us may be there in one area, but in another area, we just as worked off as a person that messed up in this other area over here. Okay? And that's what was going on with this man. He was like, okay, yeah, I trust him. Now, you know, as the Savior's dealing with him here, chances are very high that he's the Israelite, so there are things that this guy can attest to having experiences and trusting the Most High. I trust y'all. But right here, dealing with my child, I'm having a hard time handling this right here. It wasn't that y'all couldn't do it. Okay? It wasn't that y'all couldn't do it. It was just a trust issue that was going on with him that made it difficult from all the experiences that he had with that child that this could take place. And so when you look at what I say, the first thing he says to him, he said, now, okay, if you can believe, verse 23, Yahushua said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. If we can truly believe a certain thing, then that very thing becomes possible. There are things that I know gonna take place. Without a doubt, I don't care how it looks, I don't care what it looks like, I know that it's gonna take place because I believe. My trust is in y'all, and because my trust is in y'all, I don't care what it looks like, it is going to take place. But I have to admit, there have been some circumstances that made me feel, oh, Lord, this is a struggle for me. Now, I'm just being transparent with you from that perspective, and then at the same time, you know, I'll turn around and say this, it's hard, you know. I'm sharing these things from a perspective of the lesson because I like to include myself in the thing. But at the same time, when I look at it, when I deal with things from a perspective of reality, I believe y'all in everything. There are circumstances that present itself, but my state of mind has gotten to the point where I believe y'all in anything. But at the same time, I'm admitting that there have been circumstances in my past that have made me say, I don't know about this. I don't know. You know, there are times when I've been just like Peter, where Peter, he was like, I'll follow you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you to death. And when I walked out, everything started going down. Peter was like, I don't know it. I have never seen that man in my life. And the Savior of Yahushua told him, he was like, before the cock crow, you will have denied me three times. People were like, you out of your mind. But yet Peter did it. And after he did the third time, the cock crow, then he made the noise. After the cock crow, he realized that, man, that thought came back to him. And Peter, one of the great apostles of ours, was in the same situation as we all can be at one time or another. But through Peter's growth and the encounter that he had, Peter became a strengthener of the brethren because he got to the state of mind where he was convinced, just like I am now, that anything is possible. I believe it, it's possible. But just like Peter, I wasn't always like that. And I remember the first time, the first house that I lost, causing my family and I to be homeless, my mindset was when we were, you know, close to losing that house, I was like, well, if we lose the house, I'm done with this. I'm not preaching anymore. I'm not doing any of these things. I'm not doing no more. I'm just going to be, I wasn't going to deny it. Yahushua, though, I wasn't going to deny the Most High. It's just that I wasn't going to be a spokesperson for him. Well, as you can see, look, all the information would have been kept back if I'd have continued on that course. So Yah allowed me to go through that just to cause me to realize that there was more in me than what I had considered in myself at the time, you know. So with that understanding, each one of us have encountered something that has brought us to tears, thus requiring the need for Yah to aid us in our lack of trust in Him. We have to understand that whenever issues go on that bring us into tears, that is a testament, that is a gauge to let us know that we're not trusting Yah the Word. I'll use my sister Tanya for example. You know, I've beaten her up pretty good over the years. I'm kind of literally. One thing I've always tried to get her to understand, and I'm reiterating, matter of fact, it was one of the reasons why I wrote this in the first place, because y'all was dealing with me about my little sister, you know. She's having a difficult time during Mother's Day, and that's okay. We all have difficult times. For whatever reason or other. Like I said, all of us have had encounters that have brought us to tears that made us say, I don't know. But what I want her to understand and want each one of you to understand is when we get there, that is a gauge now to say we're not trusting Yah. And all of us have done it before. But my responsibility now as a shepherd and someone who Yah is doing the work on continually too, so we all in the same boat, is that is our gauge. Whatever circumstance it is that brings us to tears or makes us say, I don't know, then Yah said, that's your test, buddy, to let each one of us know that we don't trust Him. In the like manner as the Father. He was saying, I trust you somewhere. I can be a great man of God on one area, and on another area, shoot, I can be worse than my grandbaby's own.
So is that what it's saying in 24? He said, I believe, and then he said, help thy mind.
Help my unbelief. What he was saying in a nutshell, he said, unbelief means faithlessness. Now, here's the encouraging part. When you go back up and look at the verse, all the disciples were classified as that. Why? Because they could not cast the dumb spirit out of the child. So all 12 of our great apostles at the time were classified as faithless. What did our Savior say concerning them? He said, oh, faithless generation, how long am I going to be? How long do I have to be with you? How long do I have to teach you to trust in the Most High Yah? Well, none of us have been excused from it. But it's our gaze to let each one of us know when that happens, that's the area where Yah is saying has to be worked on in order for Him to manifest in us all that He's called us to be. And so I'm a little rough around the edges sometimes, and a lot of times you have to realize concerning me, when I come at you tough, it's because that's great love that I have there for you. Sometimes I come straight. You know, I used to come at, you know, right after my nephew died, and the following, you know, we had his funeral on that Saturday, and then that following service, you know, my sister was still struggling, and I was looking at her, I'm like, you better get yourself together. But that was a passionate love that I had for her to move forward and put our trust in Yah. This is where you are at now, little sis, but you got to still put your trust in Yah. Don't give up on your trust in Yah now. You know, Paul made a statement. He said, "Woe unto me, if I preach this gospel, I myself become a castaway. Woe unto me, if I talk about all the goodnesses of Yah and all the wonderful experiences of Yah, but I myself cannot attest to it." I heard you, Lord. I heard you, y'all. Y'all just spoke this to me. He said, anybody can preach it, but not everybody can live it. Now, I'm going to challenge my little sister. I'm going to pick on her. She called me after, you know, y'all led me to do this. I'm going to really pick on her. She is hypocritical. She's a hypocrite. If she put her trust in Yah, And be a testimony to other people about the experience that she's had, but then when it comes her time, she can't deal with her own experience. Testimony. Y'all understand what I just said? She would be a hypocrite to tell a mother to hang on and to trust Yah, and she's not willing to do it herself. That's what being an example is for. You know, we don't all understand why it had to happen to my nephew, but it did. But at the same time, she has been a powerful witness to encourage women who have gone through similar circumstances. Now, she can't pick a day and jump in there and be just like them. She's hypocritical. So I always challenge her on that area. Now, that fits each one of us across the board. We can't now be this faith warrior in one facet. And the very thing we're teaching, we turn around and they see the same thing going on in us. It's hypocritical. That's hypocritical. Okay? Now, as we look at it now, verse 24 again, it says, he said unto them, if thou canst believe, to be able, believe, if you can believe this, if you can believe that your child can be healed, then anything is possible. If whatever Yah has spoken to you, if you don't have nothing else, you stick with your belief.
So that's my question. I mean, even in this example, where did Yah say that this child will be delivered for him to believe that Yah said it? So I guess that's my struggle. If Yah ain't said it, how can you believe what he ain't said? It's like, how is that any different than I'm believing God for this car over here, but he ain't said nothing about it. What is there to believe in if he haven't said anything about it?
Well, when you look at the scripture from the perspective that it's saying it in verse 23, and so I'm going to answer it from your point of view. When you look at verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So let's take an example as far as the car is concerned. If I can believe that Yah can bless me with a car, then it becomes possible. It becomes possible. Anything that I put my trust in him for, it becomes possible because there are a lot of things that work within the confines of that. This is dealing with, well, let me just stick with the vein of that. Anything that I put my belief in or trust in Yah, it becomes possible. Now, that's for somebody who has put their trust in Yah somewhere and gotten the result. So here's what I mean by that. This father was somebody who, based upon his own testimony, he was like, I've gotten results. I have put my trust in Yah and have gotten results. Now, when you start dealing with the question that you ask from the perspective of How do we know that, did you say it's the will of Yah?
No, I'm saying, how can you believe if he hasn't said nothing about it? Like,
okay.
My understanding of what faith is, it ain't that Abraham just decided, oh, one day I'm going to leave and I'm going to go work somewhere. No, Yah spoke it first, and the faith came because he believed what Yah said. So I'm saying, in any area, how can you just believe randomly if Yah ain't said nothing about it?
This is the point I'm trying to make. He didn't believe randomly. What this man is experiencing is go to Luke chapter 4. I'm gonna just show it in scripture instead of explaining it. Okay, Luke 4 verse. Luke 4 verse 14. It said, and Yehoshua returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in the synagogue, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and looked up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of Jehovah is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of Jehovah." Verse 20. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the ministers and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. Verse 21, and he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." Verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious word that proceeded of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Now, as you look at this, and you continue on, and I'm going to skip down to verse 17 because I have to go this route to answer the question. Verse 27 said, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were clean save Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up. And you have to go up and read some other things, but in a nutshell, as you look at in Luke chapter 4, our Savior was announcing that the Spirit was upon him to bring about the healing, the liberty, all these different things associated with Luke 4, 18 and 19. Now, to answer your question concerning that man, that's what I'm saying, from the perspective of him being an Israelite and having, believing or trust in Yah, it was prophesied in Isaiah 61. So that's when he picked up the book Isaiah. So when you look at Israelites who are going to the temple on the Sabbath, they're understanding the law, statutes, and judgments of the Most High Yah. So they're being taught the will of Yah, that there's a Messiah that's coming, that he's going to do what Isaiah has prophesied in Isaiah 61. Because when you look at it, our Savior basically reads the same thing that Isaiah wrote. Isaiah 61, and I have to go this route just to show you. Did I skip it? Yeah, Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, "The Spirit of Jehovah Yah is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open up the prison of them that are bound. When you look at that bound, there are things that that we can deal with from that perspective. And so, coming full circle, Isaiah 61 is the written will of Yah for all Israel. This man now understanding certain things from a perspective of our nation, knew that there was a Savior coming to set them free. Now, the Messiah now shows up in Mark chapter 9. He shows up and he is fulfilling that which is written, Isaiah 61. From that perspective now, he's saying, do you believe? Cast thou believe? And the man is saying, okay, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. In other words, he already had a written testimony of what would happen to our nation from the manifestation of the Messiah. He would heal all of our nation. You go to, and so I'm just using different scriptures to answer your question. You go to Matthew chapter 10. And you look at verse 5. Matthew 10 verse 5. We've dealt with this before. It says, He commissions the 12. Yehoshua commissions the 12. Here's what he tells them. He said, these 12, Yehoshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles and into the city of Samaritans, and ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here's their assignment. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. It's written, because Isaiah 61 is the promise to the nation of Israel concerning it. This should not have been going on with this child if we had been in line with the Most High. So Isaiah 61 is the will for all Israel. Matthew 10 is the will for the disciples to do this for all Israel. Okay, so this is a promise to Israel. So he says it again in verse 8. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. This person has a spirit. This is the written now. It is a promise to every Israelite should be demon free, should be dumb spirit free. But because we operate in unbelief, we don't operate within the right as the saints of the Most High. Okay, so that's why I had to go that way. So I had to go that way to get you to understand that when a person go and say, well, I believe that Yah is gonna give me that car. Well, that's no written promise.
That's my point. It's not an unqualified if thou canst believe. It's only qualified based on the context of stuff that Yah has said. So in this context, if, like you explained, then Yah has dictated that during this period these things were going to happen. So him believing based on what Yah said makes anything from that perspective be possible. But like now, if a person, I believe Yah for that car, well, if Yah ain't said nothing in that context, I can't just walk out and stand on that because he ain't said nothing. So I'm saying, so just to further help my understanding, so how do you understand the context by which you can believe something apart from the spirit of Yah? Here's what I mean. So, for example, we in captivity now. So there are certain things that people quote and they stand on, you know, we be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, but that doesn't apply because we not in the land. You see what I'm saying? So how do you know
Well, but see, so I'll say from this perspective, that does apply. He's just said we're not in the lane.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So there's a caveat that, see, you're right, it does apply. But because we're not in the lane, we can't stand on that.
That's not true. Because it is a declaration, I can stand on it. If I never see it, I can stand on it. So when you have to understand from the big picture of this thing, Abraham died never seeing what we're going to experience. But yet he was counted faithful because he just believed. He trusted Yah. So from that standpoint, when I read Deuteronomy 28, I stand on that promise, even though, and I'm just saying this for a second, I'm saying, even though I may not ever see it myself, because that promise is bigger than just me as the individual. And so when I deal with things from a perspective of my belief, it is everything that's tied to trusting Him for His will to come to pass. In other words, when I believe something, it brings us into a level of maturity that when we believe something, it is not believing something based upon our own self-will. It is us believing something based upon understanding and trusting Yah from the perspective of what His will is for my life, anybody's life, or mankind. So when I wrote that, I wrote it from a standpoint of, okay, when these things take place, we have to put ourselves in a position to trust Yah. We all have some areas where we don't trust Yah, but that don't mean He has said it. And so when all of us put our trust in those areas, then we will start to focus on it because I'm in a specific vein of a thing. I'm not talking in general. I'm talking in specific. It's from a perspective of people mourning from the loss of their loved one, and I'm saying based upon the scripture, this is what we should do. And if we put our trust in anything else, then we're not showing our trust in Him. I'm not speaking in general. I wasn't talking about cars, houses, and stuff like that. I'm talking about from the perspective of trusting Yah in relationships to losing loved ones, specific topic. And so within that specific topic, the scripture tells us, let the spiritually dead bury the dead. It is not your responsibility to mourn your dead on an annual basis. And so you stay within that topic to come into an understanding of a thing. And then at the same time, when you look at it from a general point of view, if I'm now going to a car lot saying, I'm believing Yah for that car, then I now have high expectations being misinformed because Yah hasn't promised me that car from a perspective of the written or a law that requires to all Israel or all those who believe. So to stay within the confines of the written, everything that applies to everybody is possible if I believe it. So that's how you understand. That's why I wanted to take us around all of those areas to show that what this father was informed and asked to believe in is something that all Israel had been promised. Heal the sick, raise the dead. This boy don't have no business being a deaf and dumb child. How long has he been like that since he was a child? Do you believe it? It's available. And so it goes back into other scriptures where it says, what we've talked about in the past, where it says, for men as believe gave you the power to become the sons of Yah. Those who actually operate within that right are the sons of Yah, Romans 8:14. And so that's the difference in those perspectives is that all of us have a right to this very thing. All of us have everything is possible if we believe Yah. But all of us can attest that there are some things that we have a right to that we have actually said, I don't trust you right now. Okay. And so that's why I was coming from that perspective, and I don't want any of you to take that and make it a general term to concerning any circumstance, because just as you understand, Alan, that that you can't just go call out a card just because you believe you. I believe y'all fucking called. He was like, you ain't did that. I ain't promised you that. You know, you stand on something I haven't promised you. But then there are some things that I have gone to him and said, this is what I need. Based upon him supplying my need, I said, this is what I need. Having to be a car. I said, this is what I need, y'all. I put my trust in you that you will bring this to pass. This is what I need. And so, from that perspective, he brought those things to pass because the scripture said, my Yah shall supply all your need. I needed a nice car to ride around in and represent Yah well, and that's when he gave me the BMW. I asked him for it. He gave it to me because it was a need to accomplish the task. Well, like you're saying, people are going around saying, well, shoot, I want that car. I want that house. Don't need it. Not necessary. There's no scripture that lines up with their perspective of why they're wanting these things. It never manifests. It never manifests because other scriptures fall into place because what they're leaving Yah for is based upon the consumption of their own lust. I want this because it's what I want. It's no benefit. So Yah said, you have not because you ask of it. You know, I like that for wrong reasons. He said, consume it up on yourself. And that's what's wrong with most people, and that's why I make the statement that you know, there are people who make faith confessions or they believe in something, but they're really having high expectations off wrong information. Y'all ain't got nothing to do with it. And so that's the difference. So did it help you any? Okay. And so, but I'm glad that question was asked, and I wanted to go around and show the scriptures. So remember that, family, as we're discussing these things, and even as we start to believe Yah by faith for things, anything is possible if we believe it. But at the same time, we have to be wise enough to know and to understand what Yah has promised us, what we have a right to as the children of the Most High. But it's just that this church age that we live in has caused the church to go after things from a selfish standpoint. And I've done it before myself. You know, I used to sit around and say, man, I can't wait till I get my mansion. You know, all these, I care less about all that stuff now. Just because I come to understand that, yeah, I really don't need it. You know, just a lot of things I don't need now. You know, everything I need, Yah has blessed me with. You know, and so that's how we look at it, okay? Now, anything else? Okay, now, Mark 9, and that was a good question because it really allowed us to come around to an understanding. And that now you see as we get to verse 23, from understanding Matthew chapter 10, from understanding Isaiah 61, now when the Savior is talking to him in verse 23, Mark 9:23, and Yehoshua said unto him, if thou canst believe, okay, you have a right to this. The disciples were supposed to heal your son. Okay? But I'll just kind of ask the thing this. Maybe his mind is even messed up even more because he's looking at me and a God who couldn't do it. He's like, oh, man, there's an opening. So the Savior deals with the disciples and you faithless generation. How long I got to try to teach you and get you to understand and operate in the kingdom? I told you to go lay hands. You were supposed to be able to do that. Now, this man, and I'm just allowing the Spirit to lead me, this man's mindset could have been just affected even more from a standpoint of looking at godly men who couldn't do nothing. So Jesus had to get him focused. Can you believe? Can you truly believe in him? Can you put your trust in understanding that what we're about to do is going to work? I trust Yah, but I'm really struggling right here, Master. I trust him, but I'm struggling right here. Okay? Help me now. Aid me in my trust. How does the Savior aid it? He gives it up. I guarantee if that father ran into any other dumb spirit, he'd be like, oh, that can come out. I've had encounters. I have now the trust because it has been promised me, it is written. I have the trust now to know that this is possible because I've had the experience to see y'all do some things. So I'll say this to encourage you. All of us, again, have had areas where we've struggled. When we struggle, find your experience. Go find it. Man, there's been some stuff that's been put in front of me, and I'll be like, oh, wait a minute. And when I start experiencing it, I feel that game that y'all saying, oh, so right there, you don't trust me? Let me keep you there for a while. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't trust me right there? It's going to come around next year. Mm-hmm. See, it's going to come around next year. Do you trust it? It's going to come around every year. That's why I say that to you. You're going to do this every year, every birthday, every holiday. Are you going to keep doing this, or are you going to trust y'all? Now, how do you do it now? You got to reach and grab some area where you got some experience to say, just like David. Well, I did kill a lion and a bear. So since I killed a lion and a bear, y'all can deliver Goliath in my head. So David encouraged himself by his experience, his faith walk with y'all. I trusted y'all. He delivered the lion in my hand. He delivered the bear in my hand. And I'll be doggone it, he's going to deliver the life in my hand the same way. So every time, and this is what I do, so I'm teaching you what I do, because there have been a lot of circumstances this week, even circumstances that last week, the week before that. There are a lot of circumstances that I don't share with y'all half the stuff that I deal with. So there are a lot of circumstances and things that I go through because I'm dealing with the church, I'm dealing with Project United, I'm dealing with Gulf Buildings, I'm dealing with all these different things, personal, business, all these different things are going on that I'm dealing with. If you walk in my shoes, your head probably blow up. But this is what I've been gifted to deal with. But how I deal with it is every time I don't see a way of accomplishing the task, I go to where I have had my experiences and success with y'all. Y'all, you need it right there. And from walking in that moment of knowing that he has shown up for me, it gives me the confidence now to turn and look at that circumstance that I don't see no way of completing and say, you're going to do it right there too. It is possible because I have experiences with you. You've done it before. You can show up, do it. This is not impossible. Y'all know what our project, we've experienced what appear to be some impossible circumstances. You know, I remember back in the day when that basement was full of water to the highest degree. Me and brother-in-law was up there every day for about a month, pumping water every day for about 8 hours. That looked like an impossible circumstance. But we kept trusting. We kept showing up. We kept believing y'all. We kept dealing with all the drama associated with it. Now look at where we are right now. But if we had just looked at that circumstance and just said, okay, I give up. He's not going to do it right here. I was looking at that circumstance, and I was saying, you know what? We didn't have it at one time. At one time, it was impossible. It looked impossible for us to even have a building. Now we have a building. Surely this water is not impossible. You have to find that place where you have had the confidence in God, and when you start to get down, when you start to have doubt in that other area, then you start pulling all them other experiences in, and it will encourage you to put your trust there. That's why the Savior was like, okay, get your focus now, Father. Can you believe me right here? Oh, well, I believe something, but I'm struggling right now. I'm going to give you something to hold on to. Just trying to bring it to you now, okay? And so it's vitally important for us to understand it. And I'm gonna go ahead and stop right here. I'm not gonna lead into the rest of the lesson, because that's what he wanted us to get out of it anyhow. And so, long story short, bottom line, you don't remember anything else. Remember this: that all of us may experience some things that may cause us to have a hard time trusting y'all. When we run into that brick wall, all of us will see it. all of them will run into it at one time or another. When we run into it, then grab all of your experiences with y'all. I remember when you brought me through this. I remember when you helped me right here. I remember it looked like this before. I was in that circumstance, there's no way out, but y'all, you provided a way. Remember when I was this scared, you helped me get through that. Get all of your experiences. Because if we don't, guess what's going to come around the corner? You know, I like doing the ring around the rosy or the train going around the mountain highway we do. Y'all say, oh, I tested them again. Failure. Let me bring them back around. Because I'm going to get it out of them. And that's what he kept doing with me. He always tests me in the areas where I have struggled with him the most. Every time I struggle with him, he's going to keep bringing you right back to that point. Can you trust me and realize that what I put together, it can't be separated. It can't be stopped. What I'm doing, it's going to be done. So until you figure it out and get it, I'm going to bring you right back to that same point and make you look at it in the face and make you say, you know what? I'm going to trust you, y'all, right here. I'm going to still trust you. I'm going to trust you right here. I'm getting faster. And that's all the Father was saying. Help me in my unbelief. I don't have faith. I don't trust you right here. Help me. All of us will get there one time or another. It's just that the way by which we conquer that now is all of us have a testimony. Testify in your worst moments. All of us have good things to say about something that y'all has done for us. Each one of us do. When it's bad, go to your testimony. There are some times I'm saying this and then I'm through. There are some times I walk around in that empty building. There are some times I walk in around in there by myself and I'll be praying and I'll be talking to y'all and I see everything exactly the way he said it's going to be. I go to my testimony. When I'm looking at what I see in the physical, I go in the spirit and see what I know he said. I may go in there feeling a little bit down, but I come out skipping. Because in there I have walked around and I have built myself up in the Most High to know that what he started, he's definitely going to finish it. And so I don't see no bad spots. I don't see, all I see is the finished work. So I walk around on each floor and just imagine what he said. I go to my testimony. Anybody can give a testimony when everything is good, but can you testify when it's bad? Can you testify for y'all when ain't nothing going your way? Because that's who he's looking for. So, I'm challenging my sister before I get ready to close. Next Mother's Day, next birthday, testify at the highest degree on those days. If you don't, you're being a hypocrite. Take Mother's Day and you just testify and you just be encouraged and you go to the place when you gave your testimony and you were feeling all good. Go right to that place on them bad days. That's exactly what I do to get through. So I spent Mother's Day every now and then. I said, oh, this is the first day, you know, Mother's Day is here and I don't have mom. And then after that, I turn around and smile, because all I can think about is all the good experiences that I've had with mom. How can I be sad on Mother's Day when I had a wonderful mother? Mm-hmm. How can you be sad on Mother's Day when you was the best mother you could be to that my nephew? That's how we got to think.
That's just confirmation with God showing it's just confirmation, everything you said. And I was like, okay, Lord, I got it. He said, next Mother's Day, next birthday, I need to see a different LaTanya. And I'm like, okay, it's who you already know. So, you know, and I was like, I already know.
See, because by you doing that, what you were doing is you were feeding the day, the spiritual day. That was playing on their emotions. That's all I was doing. That's why some of them were, ooh yeah, ooh yeah, come and play on their emotions. That's what spiritually did. That's why I put that on there. Okay, no, don't go down the path of the spiritually dead. We don't want to turn this into an idolatry ritual every year. That's what the spiritually dead do. We are called now to go forth and be a witness for the Most High. That should be your greatest witness day on that day. Now, as I close, everything else that's going on with each one of you, let that day that is your hardest day be the day that you witness the most. Because now you're saying to God, no matter what, I put my trust in you. And since I put my trust in you, I'm going to go forward. I don't care how crazy it looks. I used to preach the mess out of prosperity when I used to go upstairs and sleep in the classroom. That's all I talked about was prosperity when I was homeless. They'll tell you. I talked about how Yah could bless you and how he could do all these things based upon the written word. I talked about it the whole time I was homeless. I was not going to let my circumstance determine my witness for the Most High. Each one of us got to do that. Okay? All righty. Any questions or comments? We good? Okay, let's pray. Father, Yah, we bless your name on today. And we just thank you for bringing us into this facet of understanding. And we put our trust in you. We all may be dealing with one circumstance, a circumstance in one facet or another. But we know that each one of us, we are dealing with the dilemmas, the things that we're going through, because that's what you have chosen. You have allowed us to go through it. But we put our trust in you. We know that everything is working together for our good. And so we keep our trust in you, and we tell everyone that we come in contact with the goodness, your goodness in every facet. And we give you the glory for that in the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.